Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. We're here to preview the 2023 RBC Canadian Open. It's going to be a wild one. First time playing at this golf course and so much more. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I am on Twitter at BD Entrick, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
I'm good. Are you able to see me?
Your camera's messed up, but your volume's working. That's all I was worried about, but yeah. It's all good.
Wonder what's going on there.
No idea. It's technology. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. So if it cleans up, it cleans up. If not,
okay.
As long as the audio is working, which it is, that's all I care about.
Anything. Okay.
So yeah, good stuff there.
Weird. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. No, it's all good. It's just I was watching that one, and it was like, I hope he answers me here in a minute. It's gonna be fun. But we were talking a little bit before the show. Thoughts about the Memorial, because I know you said you didn't get to watch the weekend, but I was thoroughly impressed with the entire week of the tournament. I know there are some guys that missed, but it's because it was like the best test of golf without going US Open crazy, is the way I look at it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wish I got to watch it because I didn't watch it. I was playing golf, but that's fun golf to watch to me is when it's, you know, Wayne Schwartz under 10 under and, you know, pars are a good score, and the last three holes are playing really tough. And it's, you know, it's one of those tournaments that ends up being really good because guys get bunched up on the leaderboard. You shoot five under like Scottie Scheffler does on Sunday, and you go from 30th to third, you know, so pretty incredible. Like, yeah. When Saturday, I always loved that golf course. It's one of my favorite tournaments of the year.
I would love to go play that course someday. It would eat my lunch, but it'd be just one of those kind of like be pretty sweet because it's a perfect golf course the way I look at it. And when you listen to that, and one of the great things twofold, Jack was on the coverage a lot because for those that live under a rock and listen to the show, for some reason, it's Jack's place. So I figure you knew that by now. But it was kind of sad because he started to remind me of when Clint Eastwood gets in the booth at Pebble, where he's kind of losing a few steps. And I'm like, oh no, we're getting closer to that point of this. But at the same time, it was great to get his perspective on everything just because he would sit there and talk about how like the 16th, the par 3 16th was just destroying dudes. Like you basically had to bail out and miss in the rough or the bunkers on the right. Otherwise you're screwed. And he said he'd eat lunch with like Rory and the guys, and he takes notes every year. And then he goes and he's like, I'm going to change 16 next year to like do different things. It's cool. He's always willing to adjust it to keep it competitive. But like one of the par fives was like super easy to reach. Like Rory was going driver 7-iron. And he's going driver 7-iron, and that just Jack's like, maybe I have to move the tee boxes back. Stuff along those lines was pretty cool to see. So I don't know. It was a fun tournament. It was funny, the Scottie Scheffler thing, like you mentioned. He goes in, he finishes playing his round, he goes back to his house, starts packing up to go to the airport, and then he decides to go to the airport. He comes back to the golf course going, I might have to play some more here until Vic's finished at 7-under. And he's like, okay, well, now I can go back to the airport now. So, It was just fun to see. I felt for Denny in a big way.
Yeah.
That was rough. But the way he talked about it at the end was a good way to talk about it. Like he was honest. He's like, I'm heartbroken, but I'm going to learn a lot. So that was good. It was fun. I enjoyed it thoroughly. The one thing that it keeps reminding me of, I don't know if you care or not about this, but this is why these elevated events cannot be no-cut 60 golfer tournaments or whatever. This is 70 golf. This is horrible. We need these guys because Denny wouldn't have been there. A bunch of these guys wouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. Like Lee Hodges was around the leaderboard for a while. You had a bunch of dudes that probably wouldn't have had a chance to be in this tournament.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. Like it making them no cut just sucks. And I think everybody agrees with that.
And it's funny because every time an event like this happens, because Tiger said, I'm not going to have mine no cut. Jack's kind of had the same sentiment. And all of a sudden the tone keeps changing. And now it's like, I think I heard recently Mr. Monahan is debating doing cuts but not extending the fields. So now that'll be the next topic of conversation. Like he goes from 70 to 65. Like, what are we doing? Come on, dude. That's a no-brainer thing.
Right.
So yeah, that's about all I got on the Memorial. It was awesome to watch. It was great golf. Any final thoughts on that? Big Vic, if we even say Big Vic won, of course. He was named.
Yeah.
He birdied 17, which was one of the hardest holes in the world to birdie. So kudos to him.
I'm with you. Yeah. Now Victor was, we saw that coming for a while and he got it done there at that tournament. So not surprising to me.
Yeah. He's won the, he's won two tournaments now this year. He's been teetering around the majors. It'll be interesting. And then real quick, you see what Vic was doing on Monday?
Yeah. He caddied for his buddy. Well, 36 yeah. holes today.
Yeah. And it was great because the footage on the PGA Tour app, he after the, at the tee box, he's asking the USGA officials, hey, how many water spots do you got out there to pick up, you know, bottles of water? And his buddy goes, that sounds like someone that's a little dehydrated
yeah,
right
I
now.
Saw that. Yeah. Yeah, that's really good.
I was like, I love Vic. If you think you can't love Vic more, you just, he keeps finding a way to bring you in. So that's always good stuff. But let's go to the RBC Canadian Open. We have the U.S. Open next week. So we still have some big dogs here just because of the event that it is with RBC and some other guys. But as a whole, not a great event, which you kind of expect leading into a major after an elevated event. And you're going to go through some past event history, but it's a whole new golf course. This is going to be a gigantic yeah. cluster this week.
Yeah, none of this matters. But Rory won this back-to-back. Last year was at St. George's. He won 19 under, two shots over Tony Finau. The year before that, which was 2019, they didn't have this event in 2021 or 2020. That was at Hamilton. He shot 22 under, seven shots over Shane Lowry and Webb Simpson. Dustin Johnson was a 2018 winner. Johnny Vegas was back to back at Glen Abbey in 2017, 2016. Jason Day, past winner. Brant Snedeker, who I didn't even realize had major like chest surgery. And hadn't played golf in 6 months and goes and makes the cut last week. I don't know if you.
Yeah, he hadn't played since the Fortnite. And like Mayo had the best comment on his like Saturday show. He's like, and that's PGA reporting in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
knew. I mean, nobody knew. The dude's having major surgery. Nothing. Nobody.
There's no clue where the guy's at. Like, just, I mean, like, at least.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm with
you. I thought he was just like an old school veteran. Like, I'm going to take some time off. I don't need to make money right now. I'll be back later.
Yeah, it's wild to me. I mean, I think part of that is he doesn't have a big social media presence, so he's not out there reporting it. And he is older guy, so he doesn't really give a shit if other people know about it. But yeah, that's a good point by Mayo for sure.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just in a nutshell. Like, you know, we were all happy last week tweeting or texting back and forth that Berger was going to play in the U.S. Open qualifier, and then he had to withdraw because he's still messed up. But we still don't know exactly what's the whole thing. Like, that's a whole other situation. So, yeah. It's wild times yep. on the PGA Tour. So yeah, this course, Oakdale Golf and Country Club. If you guys watch our show, then you obviously know who Jeff Feinberg is. This is his home course. He's all over the place talking about it. He's tweeting stuff out. He's stalking Tommy Fleetwood, which is hilarious. there's another guy, I can't remember who else he was talking about on today's show that basically Mayo said, don't put money on this guy because he's going to have a restraining order by the end of the week.
Moronk, he was out following
Moronk, that's Moronk. What it was. Yeah, I almost tweeted to him because he put pictures of all. Were you in his back pocket? Like,
yeah,
it's right up in there. But yeah, he's all, you gotta love Jeff. Jeff's one of a kind. But yeah, he's, if you really want the breakdown of the golf courses, just listen to Jeff. That's his place. But the gist of it is, it's Oakdale has created, has three golf courses on the premises. It's a country club, three golf courses, and they're combining pieces of all three to enter. It's like 5, 5, and 8 or something. It's I don't think it's a perfect 6, 6, 6 of the three courses, but it's going to be kind of a mess. It's a par 72, less than 7,300 yards when it's all said and done. Lots of tree line fairways. It's very, very, very thick rough. That is very evident, but the fairways are gettable. That's not the problem. So if you're hitting out of the fairway, then it turns into a wedge fest because it's not a super long course. It's three par fives. Most of them, you should be able to get there in two and get some good eagle chances. It looks like the par threes aren't too tricky. You got 12 par fours, five are under 400 yards. They're short par fours, again, the wedge thing. But then a handful are 450 to 500. But again, like, this could turn into a bomb and gouge thing. This could turn into a hit a 3-wood and get a good, you know, 140 out situation. We don't know because we're completely speculating. But they say the back nine's super easy compared to the front nine. So we could get some fireworks on Sunday, which could be fun at least, if the worst thing is considered. What the rumor on the street is, because there's like no rain, looks like weather's gonna be fine. If guys are finding fairways and it's as easy as it sounds, this could be a minus 20 plus type tournament, birdie fest, like get hot with the putter situation. And if that's the case, then just start throwing darts, people, because it's going to get real interesting out there. So what kind of stats are you looking at? Because, you know, there's the usual suspects and maybe spice up something else. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's your normal, I feel like early season PGA Tour event where, yep. you know, like you said, 20 under is going to win. It's a resort style, even though it's not a resort course, but obviously they're not going to make it super difficult because most of the time it's just the members playing there. So, yeah, I mean, if you have a really good model for like resort style courses, that's what I would probably lean on. I mean, it's birdie or better, you know, opportunities gained if you're on Fantasy National, whatever would it lead somebody to making a birdie. Obviously just need a hot putter.
Yep. Yep. If you can get luck box putting, that might be the stat to look for this week. That's
massive.
That's the one to look at in a big, big way. But let's just get at it. Let's talk DK for the week. You got three guys over $10,000. You got Rory at 11.5. Burns is up to 10.5. You never know which guy is going to show up for this event. And then Mr. Hatton, Tyrell Hatton's at 10.2. Who you liking up here?
Yeah. It's Rory, obviously. I really expected Rory to just win last week. I'm surprised.
His wedge game was horrific.
On Sunday?
Yeah. That's what cost him. And that's what makes me wonder about this tournament now.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's still Rory in this field. I mean, he's head and shoulders above the rest of these guys. So, but the problem with that is, like we were talking about before the show, like there's not a lot of options down low. So I probably won't play anybody up here, but if I did, for sure, it would be Hatton. I mean, just coming in with really good form, 12th, 15th, 5th in his last three starts. If you go back four starts, he's got a third place finish there. Just solid, solid golf. He's going to win soon. Will be this week. I don't know if this place is, you know, what would suit his game necessarily, but I could see him winning a U.S. Open or even a Open Championship this year.
Yeah, 100% with you. Like, Rory's great, and could the wedge game flip, of course. He's still, over the last 24 rounds, he's ninth from proximity of 100 to 125. But if you go 125 to 150, he's 130th in his field. That just shows you the difference in his wedge game right now. It's all over the board. And his fairways gained is 136th in this field. So I feel like you're just picking at little things. Fine, he's still first in strokes, tee to green. So he's got that going for him, which is what you really want to see at a course like this. But I'm with you. I just can't trust Sam Burns. So I'll just, if he gets it, he gets it. I'm just going to miss out on that. And I love Tyrell Hatton. We've liked him a lot all season. The results have been great. He's second in my model. He's fourth in DK scoring, which in an event, which is a heavy birdie situation, DK scoring is something I actually do look at a little bit. So that's a big one with Hatton. He's fifth in the par fours, 450 to 500. He's great at finding the fairways. Great tee to green. He's second just behind Rory in the last 24 rounds. In the wedge game, we're looking at, he's 13th from 100 to 125, 15th from 125 to 150. Like, I want to say this now, but it's golf, so it'll probably bite me in the ass come like Friday afternoon. Hatton's really good at grinding out pars and not getting bogeys, and he can get really hot and get the birdies. So it's one of those things, like, just get to the weekend and maybe have a big round type thing. So I like Hatton at 10-2 quite a bit. 9K range, now where it gets real fun. You got Fitzpatrick at 99. Connor's the chairman of the board at this event at 98. Justin Rose at 97. Fleets is down at 96. Honestly, I would have thought Fitz or Fleets could have found their way into the 10, honestly. Lowry at 94. Cam Young at 93. Sahith Theegala at 92. Cooch up to 91. That tells you the strength of this field. So what are you liking in this range?
Cooch fresh off a 84 on Sunday last week, too. Yep. So
looking real good.
There was three 80s on Sunday.
I think I saw something like the triple bogeys per round was double digits in a couple rounds. It was just wild. It was a great golf course, man. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was a true test. I've got Fitzpatrick checked off. I'll leave his analysis up to you. I don't know that this birdie fest type place is going to be where you want to play Fitzpatrick, but you tell me. Corey Connors, obviously Canadian. This is the national tournament. So I do expect him to make the cut. I like Justin Rose quite a bit. I think Corey Connors is going to be really highly owned. I think Tommy Fleetwood is going to be really highly owned. And right in between them, Justin Rose, 9,700, hasn't missed a cut since the API back in March. Two consecutive top 12s, just playing really solid golf. He's got a win this year. Like him quite a bit. And then Lowry at 94, I think is playable as well. He flashed some form last week and actually was up toward the top of the leaderboard on Thursday, kind of fell back a little bit on Friday, but solid round Saturday and then one over yesterday. So not terrible for Lowry, and he is playable. But I think I'm probably going to start my lineup with Justin Rose.
Rose is number one in my model. He's second in approach, 19 to green, first in par fours, 450 to 500, third in opportunities gained. I just want more stats. I got him. Like, he's just – he's ninth in par fives. Like, he's just – like, it's a great play at $9,700. Like, I – it's one of those, if he misses the cut, so be it. Like, I'm cool with that. He's really solid here, and he seems like – in reality, like, if we want to think about this course compared to maybe the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, sort of, he did win that this year, and that's kind of the similar field, similar scoring situations I'm looking at.
This not similar golf courses, but yes, 100% as far as like kind of birdie strategy fest. Behind it. Yes, yeah. not a very strong field at all whatsoever. I agree.
Yeah, so like Rosie stands out at $9,700 with you. I'll play Fitz at 99 just for the reasons you mentioned with Connors being popular, and I think if anybody plays in the 10K range, Hatton is the guy. Yeah. So Fitz might get a little overlooked here. He's been better in birdie events. Like, he still scored relatively well to win the RBC Heritage. That's something to think about. He is 20th in my model, but sixth in the par fives, fourth in the par fours we're looking at, sixth in DK scoring. Just find the fairways. That's kind of been his issue from time to time. But if he can find the fairways, he's going to be pretty solid here. So I do like Fitz at 99. And I like Fleetwood a lot, but I'm with you. I think he's going to be super popular. So that's a bit tilting to me. Well, maybe we'll get different somewhere else. I don't know, but he's seventh in my model. He's playing really good golf as well. The only other guy I'm pretty torn on, like, Kuchar rates out great. It's just, man, $9,100 for Kuch is like, you need a guy to probably top five it up here. I don't know if Kuch can do that. The guy I'm curious about, and you didn't mention him, and usually you're on him, and this was my one and done last week, and he shit the bed for me, is Thigala. Because when we've seen Thigala play, like, you know, TPC Scottsdale or some of these more birdie fest events, he's been up there every time. If you look at his overall stats the last 24 rounds, it's not pretty. He can't find a fairway. His opportunity gains are rough because he's not finding the fairway. The last few tournaments have been tough if you're in the rough. His wedge game has been kind of sketchy. So, like, he's rating out pretty rough right now. But when you talk about birdie fest, Sahith has shown up quite a bit this season. So he's on my radar. I don't have him locked in right now, but I don't know if you have any thoughts on Thigala.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, my model doesn't really like him. I haven't been playing him because he has been getting more popular every week. So he's not that low-owned guy that was kind of sneaky.
Yeah, he's 87.
6-8 months ago.
Yeah.
Do what?
He's 87th in my model. They don't like him at all. It's just one of those.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the stats aren't great. He hit 45% of the greens last week and 41% of the fairways and could not scramble worth anything. So I don't know, man. Maybe he figures out this week. I just don't.
I'm with you. 8K range, you got Keith Mitchell at 89, Benny On at 88, Hadwin 87, Maronk 86, Vincent from Canada 85, Hogard at 84, Aberg at 83, Ludvig Edberg, the college player of the year, I believe. So he got his exemptions. Bramlett at 82, Nick Taylor at 81, and Michael Kim at 8,000. We're starting to get that drop off pretty quick.
Yeah. Moronk, I do have checked off. You know, he's mostly been a European tour guy, but he did play the PGA Championship finished 40th there. Made the cut at Honda Classic. Genesis made the cut, missed the cut at the API, missed the cut at the Masters, but I do have him checked off. Yeah, Aberg, I'm assuming that's how you say it. Aberg?
I think so. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah. He's the guy from Texas Tech.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, he's very playable at 8,300, and most people, especially in your big contests, aren't going to know who that is unless they're listening to a lot of, you know, DFS content. Michael Kim at 8,000, dude's just been playing really well. He did miss the cut to Byron Nelson, but came back with a sixth place finish at the Charles Schwab, which was his last start a couple weeks ago, and before that was seventh at the Wells Fargo. So for the range, like, that's not bad. $8,000 for Michael Kim, which is way too high, but it is what it is.
Yep, I'm with you. Benny On at 89 is someone I'll keep my eye on. He 48th last week, but the 58th at PGA Championship, 59 at Wells Fargo. The finishes has not been great, but his stats say he's really good. Sixth in my model, first off the tee, third tee to green, second in par four, third in his wedge game. So Benny On at 88, just can you putt? That's the tradition, unlike any other, with Benny On. Maronk at 86.
he withdrew. Been on with Drew.
Oh, he did? Well, yeah, I can this morning. Unstar that one.
Yep, take him off.
There we go. Maronk at 86 is definitely in play, like you said. Nikolai Højgaard is interesting to me at 84 as well. Missed cut at the Memorial, but 50th at PGA, 33rd at Mexico Open. He's another one of those European guys that's been playing pretty well over there. Ludwig Aberg or Aberg. Yeah, like you said, the college, he won the NCGA, so he's got exemption through 2024, I believe. That's the new program they have him play. Very good golfer. So I think he's definitely played $8,300. One guy that ranks 16th in my model, but I can't bring myself to do it, is Nick Taylor. He's a Canadian, too. And he plays well at these kind of birdie fest events, so he might be a guy I need to dig into some more. His par 5 scoring is horrible. Over the last 24 rounds, his wedge game is not ideal. But he's 16th in my model, and he could be a guy that you get for, like, super low ownership. And then I'm with you on Michael Kim. I have Michael Kim checked off as well. Good form coming in. 75 to 79, you got Eric Cole, Smalley, Wise, McNeil, or Aaron Wise, McNeely, Pendrith, Rye, Harry Hall, Michael Thorbenson, Brandon Wu, Lee Hodges, Sam, my boy, Sam Stevens, Vincent Norman, and that is it in this range.
Did you say Brendan Todd at the top?
Maybe I missed him. Brendan Todd at 79, yes.
He's in there. I'm not saying play him. I like Harry Hall at 76. Coming off the third place finish at the Charles Schwab, should have won it, had a terrible weekend, but you know, it's his first time in contention. $7,600 for him. I like him quite a bit. Sam Stevens, of course, 7,500. Four straight make cuts. I played him. I actually played him last weekend, and I had a team that was 6-6, and did not think for a long time that I was going to cash. I mean, I was not cashing going after Saturday's round.
Nuts.
Yeah.
All the over par scoring, man. It's like it's worth getting cut instead.
Almost. And I had Victor on that team.
Oh wow.
And Chef. So the Chef round, and obviously the Vic win. Gets me well into the money, so that was fine. But and then last but not least, 7,500. Vincent Norman, mentioned him a couple times over the last couple weeks. He's got three straight made cuts on tour, made four of his last five. Finished eighth at the Byron Nelson a couple weeks back. So it's so slim pickings, man. I can't bring myself to click on a lot of these guys.
Yeah, this is where it turns into, if you want to eat chalk up top, just play guys down here with them, and you're right. Going to have some fun. I'm going to start with Eric Cole at 79. He's fifth in my model. He made his name for himself at the Honda, and he's been actually playing really well since then. You look at his recent results. He was 24th at the Memorial, miscut the Schwab, 15th at the PGA, 23rd at the Byron Nelson, miscut the Wells Fargo, 5th in Mexico. So when he makes the cut, he usually finishes pretty well. Like I said, fifth in my model. He's 8th tee to green, 5th in the proximities we're looking at, and he's 9th in DK scoring. He's 12th not opportunities gained. So if he's finding the fairway, he's going to get you plenty of chances to get some points. Alex Smalley at 78 is another guy I've been looking at. Miscut last week, but 40th, 23rd, 18th in his previous three events. So he'd be another guy. Aaron Rye is 12th in my model. That is terrifying to me.
I almost clicked his name too. Yeah, but
miscut, 12th of the Schwab, and then multiple miscuts in a row.
Three straight,
oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, that's rough. I'm going to unclick that one real quick. Brandon Wu at 75. He's 43rd in my model, he's 16th in the par fours, 350 to 400, five of those. He's miscut the last two events, went 23rd, 30. He's playing really good golf before his struggles recently, so he could be interesting. Sam Stevens, of course. That's an obvious call. He's 14th in my model. He keeps rating well. Last one at least is Lee Hodges. He's 3rd in par fours, 450 to 500. He's a fairway finder, which is what we want. He was in contention on Saturday last week. He finished 12th at the Memorial, 29th at Schwab, 55th at the PGA, miscut the Wells Fargo, 73rd in Mexico. So he's another one of those guys that could get you some points and surprise you. If he didn't play so well last week, he might come in lower own. But in this range, he might be kind of popular, actually. 7K to 74, who you like him?
Hubbard, 7,300. I think you mentioned him last week.
Yeah, that's my boy.
A couple weeks, yeah. 30th, 9th, last two starts. Pretty solid. Nate Lashley, 7,300. Coming off a miscut at the Charles Schwab, but before that had made four consecutive cuts. My model likes CT Pan at 7,100. So I got him checked off. Coming off a fourth place finish at the Byron Nelson. He's not been playing a lot this year. Carson Young, our boy, 7,100.
Yes, plug him in, folks. For sure. Plug him in. That's the best, my best deal on the whole slate.
Yeah, it is. I mean, 21st and 14th last two starts. Made four of his last five cuts, and does have two top 20s in the previous right before he missed his cut at the Wells Fargo. So, Carson Young. Last but not least, Brant Snedeker, man. I mean, $7,000 coming off the 41st place finish at a much tougher track, the Memorial. So, interesting to me. I mean, he looked good. He was playing well. You make the cut at the Memorial in that tournament. I mean, you're worth, in my opinion, playing in this tournament for $7,000.
That definitely assumes he's healthy if he's playing that well tomorrow. Right. So that's,
yeah. I don't think he'd come back unless he was.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. I think that's a good call. For me, he's going to be very popular now because of his last performance with Lipsky at 74, 16th, or 12th last week, 16th the week before. He's a guy that we've seen flash from time to time, so no problem going to him. Luke List at 74. This is where it gets fun if you want to play some games here. 16th last week, 57th to Charles Schwab, 34th to the Byron Nelson, then a bunch of missed cuts prior to that. But he's like 7th off the tee over the last 24 rounds. Par 4 is 450 to 500. He's 8th. We know he can't putt. He's 5th in opportunities gained. So he's going to give you chances to put up points. It's just a matter of can he find the weekend. And that's, you never know. In a tournament like this, very possible. Ben Martin at 7,300 bucks. He's 19th in my model. He's a fairway finder. He's 1st in opportunities gained in this field over the last 24 rounds. 3rd in DK scoring. And 3rd in proximity, 125 to 150. So I like Ben Martin quite a bit. Mark Hubbard is 13th in my model. I love him with you there. Nate Lashley at 73, I like a lot as well. And then I have Carson Young. If I could put more than one star on here, I would. That's pretty easy for me. I like your Schneds call. And the last guy I'll mention is Dylan Wu. He's 10th in my model. He's 2nd in par 5 scoring, 11th in DK scoring. His wedge game is very, very strong. If you look at recent performances, missed cut, and then he was playing really well prior to that 21st at Wells Fargo, 15th in Mexico. Maybe he's needing a little breather after these missed cuts in Charles Schwab. He doesn't like Texas. Let's put it that way. He does not like Texas. All right. 6K range. I have like three guys started. Who do you like down here?
Yeah. It's tough. I've got a couple. For some reason, my model likes Peter Kest at $6,100 and Ryan Hall at $6,000. Not 100% sure why. I mean, it's got to be some kind of old stats that are probably loaded in there, but you never know. I mean, like, there's Ryan Gerard at 6,600.
He's one of my guys, yep.
Van Ruyen, maybe. That's James Hahn, maybe. Marty Dew at 6,900. I mean, it's rough. Sam Bennett, dude. I mean, Sam Bennett coming off the made cut last week.
That's one I don't hate. Don't hate him at all. He's shown he can play in two tournaments now pretty well.
Yeah. Right, the Masters in that, but this is a completely different ballgame where you're going to have to go low. So, you know, we haven't seen him in one of those types of events yet. But, I mean, $6,900, he's worth a stab. But, yeah, I won't go below Carson Young.
You're not going to play Michael Block at $6,100?
I think that's about 6,000 too much.
Yep. after
But I hope – is he going to be on feature group coverage? Have they said that yet?
I have not seen anything on
we
that.
We need him on feature group coverage.
We do. Again. Twitter yes. needs him on
yes.
on group coverage, please.
Needs something to do on Thursday afternoon or morning, whenever.
After Bennett for me, Lucas Glover. His recent form is not great, but he's still 44th on my model. He's second in good drives, 4th in finding the fairway, 7th in the wedge game. So he could be a dude down here. Kevin Roy rates 3rd in my model. Couldn't tell you many things about Kevin Roy. To be honest, he missed the cut at the Byron Nelson. He finished 18th in Mexico. So I look back even farther. He's pretty much doing really well in the bad events. Birdie events, though. You got that going for you. He's 8th in par 5. So different stats, basically, is what I'm trying to tell you. But he's $6,600. Ryan Gerard is 66. I do like. I'm with you on that one. And then the only other one I'll mention, and I didn't love it, but he's 52nd in my model. He's 1st in finding the fairways, 10th in opportunities gained. But there's a lot of other things that aren't great. Is Ryan Armour at $6,400. The fact he's a fairway finder and he can give you chances at birdies at 64, I'll take my chances. He's 50th at the Byron Nelson, 56th at Wells Fargo. Hasn't played since. Don't love it at all, though. But if you have to go deep, I guess that's where you go. All right, let's recap things. 10K and above, who you got?
Hatton.
Yeah, I'll go with you on Hattie. 9K range.
Rose.
I'll take Fitz then to be different on this one, but Rose is really solid. 8K range.
I'm going to say Michael Kim.
I'm going to go with Ludvig Åberg.
I like it.
That's what I'm going with. 75 to 79.
Samuel Stevens. Harry Hall, close second.
Stevens, good. I'll go Eric Cole to be a little different at 79. But there's a few I don't mind as much in that range. Now it gets fun. 7K to 74.
Carson Young.
Yep, Carson Young is the play. I'll take Mark Hubbard. And then when you go into the 6K range?
Sam Bennett.
Yeah, I'm just going to do that and take Sam Bennett with you. I do not want anything to do with that 6K range at all. No. With all this negativity about value on this slate, how would you start a cash lineup this week?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't start a cash lineup at all. But I would try to get probably Rose, Carson Young, and Michael Kim.
I was going to say Sneds. I like Sneds at least to make the cut. So yeah. Give me Sneds, Carson Young, and probably Kuchar if he's only for cut makers. Like I'm fine with that. But GPP, you have some options. So how are you starting a GPP build?
Yeah, I mean, like you go Hatton, and then Hubbard off the good showing last week and the week before that. And then, man, Maronk.
I'll just say this much. I'll let you guys decide how you want to build the rest of your lineups. But give me Carson Young, Mark Hubbard, and Ben Martin. Have all the fun you want with that. Get your big guys up top. Have fun.
I'm with you.
All right. Now the real fun begins. Picks to win. Rory's 5-1. Hatton's 12-1. Sam Burns and Fitz are 14. And Cam Young is 14. Connor's at 16. Rosie's 18. And Fleetwood and Lowry are 20. And then even that drops off 10 points. It's like DK all over again. Yeah, so what are you looking at to win here? Because honestly, if it's a birdie fest, I wouldn't be shocked if someone shows up out of nowhere here.
Yeah, Justin Rose, 18 there is not terrible. I mean, Aberg being 60 in his first event, his first official pro event or whatever, that's ridiculous. He should be like 120. Harry Hall at 90. I mean, he almost won a couple weeks ago. Lipsky had a really good couple days there at 100-1. So Hubbard at 110. I mean,
I like that.
There's some value there with some of these guys and some of these long shots.
Yeah, but I like that.
Yeah, Hubbard's it's not pretty.
Carson Young's 150. He feels like he's just so close, like a couple more birdies from making it happen type thing.
Yeah, but more like a top 20 bet on him is not terrible.
Yeah, like Sam Bennett's 16-1 to top 10. You could probably get a good top 20 number on him. Yeah, this is a good field to top 20. Let's put it that way. Go take some darts on some top 20 guys.
Yeah, there's some of the birdie
makers. They could have some fun with that. That would be an angle to go with. But more importantly, the angle to go with is good luck this week.
Yeah,
we have the U.S. Open next week, which will be another catastrophe, but at least it'll be a fun catastrophe to watch. Of course, it's supposed to be beautiful in L.A. That's all I know.
And we have it's going to be a little bit of a better field.
Yes, at least you have value, basically.
The No Laying Up guys did a YouTube 18-hole match at LACC, and it looks like it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but so many players that have gotten to play it have just raved about the golf course.
It's different than a lot of courses you've seen in the past. Like, there's big wide fairways. The rough isn't. I mean, I'm sure it'll probably be worse than what it was on when they played it. But the rough doesn't look awful. It does look awful around the greens. Like, they have some really high rough right around the greens. But I feel like it's going to be like a Bryson DeChambeau type of course. You know what I'm saying?
Nice. Yep. Bomb and gouge.
Yep.
I like it. Yeah, no, I can't remember who tweeted it out that it's like a combination of like three different U.S. Open courses. So it's going to be really fun to have it all come together and see how it goes. And obviously I've never played it because I don't have those luxuries in life. So I can't help you with that, but it's supposedly down in the heart of LA.
I mean, when they were playing it in the background, you saw skyscrapers. It's wild.
Yeah. It reminds me almost of I've been to the Coliseum down there and you literally go through like the ghetto to get to it. And then when you play Harding Park in SF, it's like you're in the middle of town.
Yeah.
So it's a different feel compared to most golf courses we all go to where you're kind of on the outskirts.
Right.
You're like, it's a different animal. You're hearing like traffic and, sirens all the time and stuff.
Yep.
It's wild. So
I'd say, it's LA. Who knows what the hell's going to happen, man?
Yeah. My Dr. Dre and NWA coming through. Who knows?
Could be
a lot of fun. But we'll get that for you guys next week as pricing will probably come out about Friday, give or take. And we'll figure out a time to record that one for you. But more importantly, enjoy the week. See how it goes. Should be a fun venue. I just don't know how the tournament's going to play out. I'm obviously going to play DK. Jesse's going to play DK. We're not going to not play.
No, yeah.
But
we can't not. We got Junkies League, man.
Exactly. We can't not play, but it's just one of those we're kind of, we've been spoiled lately, and you got this thing kind of thrown in the middle of it. It's like, ah, crap. Yeah. But we'll power through. We'll be back to you guys next week. But more importantly, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I am at Pediatric, and we will be back to you guys next week, because this was your 2023 RBC Canadian Open preview. Catch you guys next time.